Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Nigel Fraser.
Hallelujah. Let's just close our eyes and just fix our eyes on the Lord. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you, Father, this is a new day. Thank you, Father, this is a new year. We just welcome you, Holy Spirit, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, Lord, that outside of you we can do absolutely nothing. And we just praise you, Lord Jesus. We just welcome you just to come and fill us, fill our hearts and speak to every one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, the first thing I was very encouraged to see, Josh's T-shirt, which says, with great beard comes great responsibility. And I think I've got a closely trimmed beard, so maybe I've got diminished responsibility. But this is 2017. It's a new year. And I'm aware it's prophetic when you've got the first preacher of the year. And Paul was aware of that as well, which is why he was trying to do his stuff as well. With 2017, my title for the talk is Jump In With Both Feet. So that's the message for 2017, Jump In With Both Feet. The scripture for it is Mark 16 and the very last verse. And despite going on quite a number of missions over the years, this verse really hit me for the very first time yesterday. Everyone's read, knows there's lots of Great Commission scriptures at the end of the Bible. And what the Great Commission was, the very last words of Jesus before he went to heaven. And if you've got an opportunity to say something before you go to heaven and you can pre-plan what you're going to say, it's probably going to be the most important thing that you're about to say, isn't it? So, and the Great Commission was what Jesus commanded the disciples to do just before he took off. He says, right, over to you guys. I'm leaving. I'm out of here. I'm off to heaven. You're going to do everything now. And if you look at verse 20 of Mark 16, and it says, and they went out and preached everywhere. Everywhere means everywhere. While the Lord kept working with them and confirming the message by the attesting signs and miracles that closely accompanied it. Amen. So be it. So that's the scripture I've got for the year. It's quite interesting because I was running with a different theme. I was running with a different message. But this was the one that God gave me. And you might look at me and say, well, Nigel, he goes on lots of missions. He seems to be all over the place. It's just what Nigel does. No, it's not. I'm just one. I'm not an expert. I'm not a specialist. I'm just doing what it says here. They went everywhere, yeah? So what God, and I believe there's two groups of people here this morning that God spoke to me about. There's some people you've actually not taken the step into being born again and becoming the Christian yet. There's a few people here. You've been coming along to church. You've been enjoying the atmosphere. You've been soaking up the presence of God. You've been enjoying the coffees. You've been enjoying everything that's laid out. And you've been sitting on the edge. And God's saying, now it's time for you to jump in. Now it's time for you to jump into the Christian faith and become a Christian. And that's a few of you. And this is your day. It's going to be your opportunity to get saved. There's a second group of people that you've been coming up, you're coming along to church and you're looking at everybody else and you've got this sort of like impression or image of people who are experts in the Christian faith. They're the ones who can do it. They're the ones who've got the ability. They're better than me and I'm just little me. And as a result of that, you've become one of these people who just sits in your chair and you're really not using, you've not entered into the call that God has called you to. And what Paul was talking about earlier, the scripture he had was Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. That God has prepared good works for you to walk into. That means that you've been specifically hand chosen by God. Every person here, you've been specifically hand-chosen by God for works that only you are anointed and able to do. Yeah? There's never going to be another one of you. Some people may say, thank God. But no, there's never going to be another one of you. There's never going to be another one of me. Yeah? We are a unique masterpiece from God. There can be 7 billion people in the world, but there's only one of you. And there's a unique. And when you come into Christ, there's a unique calling of God. And what God's going to judge you on when you get to the end of your life is, have you entered into the call that God has got for your life? Basically, your salvation is a gift from God, but your reward comes from following the call that God's got for you. Yeah? And you can't just say, well, because I'm not a specialist pastor, which is what Paul was talking about. I'm not important. Well, you are. Doesn't matter what your job is. And I agree with Paul as well when he said, there's no such thing as the religious and the secular. Everything is spiritual in God's sight. It doesn't matter what you do. It's all spiritual. Yeah? So when I go to my job, my secular job, that is just as spiritual as when I was going on mission. There's no difference. I need to be prepared spiritually before I go into each scenario. I don't have weeks or days when I'm switched off, or weeks or days when I'm running with God. Yeah? Whether I'm doing a Reinhardt Bonnke-style crusade, which I'm not, but if I was, then I'd have to be as prayed up for that as I would be for work. Because it's all spiritual, yeah? And this is the... So if God's called you, you are a masterpiece. And I was thinking about the talents this morning. There's no worthless... This is another thing God said to me. He says, I've got no worthless servants in this congregation. There's no one that I'm going to throw out. There's no worthless servant here. Yeah, this is an On Fire for God church. This is a church that's moving. It's a church I've had the privilege of being part of Kingdom of Faith Yorkshire since 1994. I actually visited it in 1992. And there's been growth. Yeah, it's transformed beyond recognition. God is a dynamic organisation. It's an organisation that's going onward and forward. Yeah. And 2017, but it's going to depend upon you, the individual, and jumping into the call of God that God's got for you. So let's look at the Great Commission. It goes back to Mark 16, verse 15. And he, that's Jesus, said to them, go into all the world and preach and publish openly the good news, the gospel, to every creature of the whole human race. The gospel is incredibly good news. It's amazingly good news. It's what God has done for you. He's reached down, he's sent his son down from heaven. He gave his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that whoever should believe on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Yeah? We were all lost before Jesus came to us. Yeah? We were all walking through life lonely, without God, in darkness, and on our way to a lost eternity. That was our future. When God saw the way that we were going, and he sent his son Jesus, because he knew that because of the sin in us, we were separated from God. So God gave his son on the cross, so he died on the cross, and when his blood was shed, his blood was to cleanse you, to scrub you clean from every sin in your life, that you might be brought out of that abandonment, out of that loneliness, out of that lost eternity, and put on the road to heaven. Yeah, that is what God's called you to. Through Jesus Christ, He gave His own life on the cross. He died for you. His blood will scrub away every single sin of your life. It doesn't matter how filthy and dirty your past has been. It doesn't matter what you've done or what you've been into. But if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he will clean you from every degrading and filthy sin in your life. And he will make you pure and holy and righteous. And when he's done that, you are pure and holy and righteous for eternity. Because of that purity and holiness and righteousness which now comes in your life, you will then be able to enter into heaven, which is completely pure and holy. Because C.S. Lewis had a book called The Great Divorce. Basically, there's going to be a great divorce at the end of time. On the day of judgment, there's going to be two groups of people. Everybody, all the billions and billions of people that have ever lived, will stand before Christ, will stand before God the Father and his throne. And the books will be opened. The books will tell the details of all your life. And there's also another book. And if your name is written in the book of life, you will then be welcomed into the wedding feast of the Lamb. And you will be sent to eternity. The others will be thrown into the lake of fire for eternity with the devil and his angels. That is their future. The gospel is very, very simple. The only way you can get right with God, you cannot work your own way towards Jesus Christ. You cannot work your way towards God. The only thing that can bring you to God is what Jesus has done for you on the cross. It's only his perfect sacrifice, his blood shed on the cross, that can make you right with God. Amen. So this is so there's people here today, and you are not in that relationship with God. You do not know that you're definitely going to go to heaven when you die. And God's saying to you today, this is your opportunity to get right with God. Because you have to humble yourself, and you have to say, I am unworthy, and I need forgiving of my sins. And you have to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come and forgive you. When he comes and forgives you, he will wash you clean with his own blood and give you a new life and a place in eternity. Your name is then written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So my question to you this morning, do you know that when you stand before God on the day of judgment, when you've died, is your name in the Book of Life? And Jesus says in John 3:16, everyone who believes on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. So this is the gospel, and this is the opportunity for you. Amen. Now, I want you to close your eyes at the moment, because we're going to come back to the sermon in a moment. If this is you, and you know that you do not have that definite relationship with Jesus Christ, I want you to raise your hand now. I'm just going to pray. If you can all pray the same prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I welcome you, Lord Jesus, to come into my life. I'm sorry that I've sinned against you. I'm sorry for all the sins that I've committed. I pray, Lord Jesus, you're going to clean all my sins away. I thank you, Lord, for your blood on the cross. And I pray, Lord, you're going to cleanse me and make me new. I welcome you, Lord Jesus, to come into my life and to make me right with you. I welcome the Holy Spirit to come into my life and make me new in Jesus' name. Amen. We can talk, if anyone wants to come and talk to me afterwards, we'll talk more about the gospel. But it's so important that when you die, you need to know that you're in right relationship with God. You need to know that two things. One, you need to know that your name is written in that book of life. Well, if your name is written in that book of life, that guarantees you a place in God's kingdom. It guarantees you a place in heaven. Guarantees you a place at the wedding supper of the Lamb, which will be absolutely amazing. We'll all be there together. It guarantees you you will have a perfect, a wonderful new body, one without pain. You'll be going into a place without tears. You'll be going to a place without sorrow. You'll be going to a place where you'll be forever. There will be no more darkness. And you'll be there with God forever and ever. It's the most amazing place to be. And this is why the gospel message is so, so important. It's so, so important that people know about salvation. Because there's so many people that are on the broad road to destruction. They're going down the broad road. They don't know that there's a narrow way towards life, because nobody's gone and told them. And our job is to go out there and to preach the good news, the exceedingly good news of the kingdom, to people who don't know it, and give them an opportunity, because we're reaching out a hand to people that are lost on that broad road to destruction. And this is really what we're doing as missionaries, as we're going over the world. It says, go and preach the good news to every creature. Everyone needs an opportunity. Everybody in Scarborough needs an opportunity to believe, yeah? You know, I could tell you loads of jokes this morning, but actually, I think 2017, we need to start off with a serious focus. You know, we need people to get saved. We need to see people saved in UK. And then, unless we actually tell them, how will they hear? Yeah? And we have been sent by God. You've been equipped. You may not feel equipped. You may not feel very gifted in talking to people, but God has given you the Holy Spirit inside of you. And as you step out and you start to talk to people, He will then give you the words to share with them. Amen. And we've all fallen far short of where we should be in this area. But the past is behind us. This is a new day, it's a new year, and it's a new opportunity to go out with the message. And it's incredibly good news. It says, he who believes in and trusts in and relies on the gospel and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. So it's two groups of people. There's no in-betweens. You're either a goat or you're a sheep. There's nothing in between. You don't have a 99% or, well, they're a really nice guy. They used to help old ladies cross the road. They're going to go to heaven. There isn't that category. You're either in or you're out. It's not like a range. We tend to think of everything as a range. God says, you're either my child or you're not my child. You're either a new creature or you're not a new creature. Amen? And it says, and these are testing signs. When you start to speak, the Holy Spirit will take your words and it will go into the lives of the people of whom you're speaking to. And that Holy Spirit will, and they will recognize there's something different about your words. Now, you may not be able to see on the outside that they're recognizing there's anything different about your words, but you don't know what's going on in the inside of them, yeah? You don't know the power and the authority of your words. Reinhard Bonnke said, he said, the words of God in my mouth are as powerful as the words of God in Jesus' mouth, yeah? Because it's the same word and it's the same Holy Spirit, yeah? Jesus himself said, of myself I can do nothing. I can only do what my Father in heaven is doing. Yeah, we can only speak and say what my Father in heaven is doing. And it says, these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. When we went to India, there's a move of God going on in the state of Punjab at the moment, in northwest India. And that's where I was last month. And where we were going, everywhere we were going, there were people that wanted to hear the gospel. We're invited around to non-Christians' houses, and they would sit there and listen. The whole family would sit and listen to us everywhere we went, and you just share your testimony or share the gospel. And when we went into a meeting, there'd be lots of non-Christians coming in, and they wanted to know the truth, and we'd share the gospel, and there was many people were responding to the gospel. We saw as well that God was moving in power in the meeting. There's a presence of the Holy Spirit in the meetings. We saw this unfortunate woman who was demon-possessed. And when we started praying, she started frothing and writhing around on the floor and manifesting this demonic evil spirit in her life. And it was just right in front of me. And I think, oh, great, right in front of me. You know, this manifesting evil spirit. And but I just stood over it. And I thought, it's got to go. I said, I command you, come out in the name of Jesus. And I kept on going like that. And I took authority of the thing and I threw it out. And within about 10, 15 minutes, this woman, she'd been transformed. It was interesting, it's quite funny, because I've got a sense of humour even in these situations. I've got my Bible, and every time I held my Bible close to the demon-possessed woman, she started frothing and writhing around even more. And then I took it back and she calmed down a bit. And I was doing that backwards and forwards. But anyway, by the end of it, she was absolutely set free. And that night, she was in a Bible study meeting and was open to God. So we praise God for that. So it says, in my name, they'll drive out demons. And they'll speak in new tongues. It said they'll pick up serpents. Well, we didn't bother doing that. And it says, if they drink anything deadly, well, that didn't really... We fell short on that one because he went along to this... restaurant on the last day, and we didn't drink anything deadly, but we ate something a bit deadly. And I got up to the... Normally, when I go on mission, I've got a stomach like iron, but on this very first time, I puked. And what was interesting about this vomit, though, was I was standing at the check-in, handing my bag in, and the check-in guy was just messing us about and taking a long time. And suddenly, and I was right in front of the queue, a huge queue behind me, I said, I've got to go. And anyway, he was left with my bag, and I sprinted off, and the nearest place was the VIP lounge. That day, the president or prime minister of India was visiting that city, and he was going to go into the same VIP lounge. And they're all getting it nice and tidy for him. And there was a toilet in which you'd probably sit on. And there was me puking down here. Anyway, so hallelujah. I felt a lot better after that and had a nice journey all the way home. But I hadn't really moved into that verse yet. They will drink anything dodgy. They'll lay hands on the sick and they will get well. So we laid hands on the sick people and we prayed for lots and lots of people. And you think, this is really dumb. Here I am, I'm just sticking my hands on people and just praying for them to be healed. But that's the way God's made it. That's what the Bible tells you to do. And as you step out, you can't, you know, as a medical doctor, I'd like to have the file, the case notes beforehand, all the reports, the investigations, the scans. Then I'd like them to go through a process and have another file afterwards with all the scans, investigations, results. But I don't get given these two files. So I've just got to switch off my intellectual understanding and just lay hands on them. And in India, you get crowds of people coming up. And sometimes they go from the end of the line, the beginning of the line, then they go all the way back to the end again and queue up again and come around a second time and then bring back other people. And then when they're finished on your line, then they go to the next person's line, queue up, and they'll get their blessing as well. So they move right down the line. So when you're praying for people in India, you get a huge response rate. They all want to be prayed for. But the culture in India is interesting because you get into a church in India and it's worth going on missions, because as you go into different places, you see God doing things that you'd never actually see if you don't go outside the door. As Paul said, church is outside there. Yeah? Every church has got a door and God wants you to get out of it. Yeah? A lot of people, they come into church. It's very easy. I've been there. I've come into church. I've just sat there in the chairs, comfortable chairs, nodded off, just soaked it all, been passive, just enjoyed it. But God doesn't want you to be that kind of Christian. He wants you to come in here, get topped up, go out there, give it out. Yeah. As you go out and give it out, then you'll get pressed down, shaken together, running over. You'll get even more than what you had before. That's right. Amen. You know, I've never baptized anyone in the UK. Turned up in Africa and they said, we'd like you to baptize young people. I said, not a problem. I can do that. Never done it before, but it doesn't look hard. you know, so I said, there's the river you've got to go and stand in. I said, what, the river? Yeah, stand in that river and baptize them in that brown, muddy river down there. So anyway, you go in. I thought, well, there could be things in that river. This is Africa. I said, there could be all kinds of dodgy things in there. And then the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, are you afraid? Anyway, so I thought, this is what I did. I had my trousers on. So I pulled my socks over my trousers. I'm not going to stand and go standing there in shorts. Anyway, so I pulled my socks over my shirt in case there's anything, little nasty things in there. And got in there and just started baptising them. But praise God, I baptised people. So you get to do things that you're never going to do. It's like you get stuck in situations you're never going to have. I was once in this... and there's no one to sort of advise you. Once there was this really old lady. I was playing for people when I was about 30 odd in Indonesia, and she and this really old lady, she was so impressed by the ministry, she said, will you marry me? And I said, well, I knew that. I said, no, go away. You see, you don't have anyone to explain what to do in given situations, but the Holy Spirit gives you the wisdom what to do with these challenges that you get. And you just know it. So her wrinkly face was disappointed, but away she went. So you get all these kind of situations. So what else do we do? So we went around prophesying to people. Sometimes you can prophesy stuff, and it's really strong stuff. And you know it's the Holy Spirit telling you to do it. And you don't want to do it, because you think, I've got no one to check it out with. But on the mission field, when you're out there by yourself, you don't have the whole band there. I don't have, you know, pocket Pastor Paul that I can ask, you know, what should I do in this situation? You just got to get on and do it. And you learn the stuff in church, but when you go out there, you do it. You know, you can go in every course in the world. And lots of Christians have got in the UK and around the world, They just come, sit on courses, studying, forever learning. But you need to be giving out. Share what you've got, yeah? And some of the best preachers are those that have never been to Bible college. They've never done all the courses. They've had to learn it directly from God. And as I said before, I'm not an expert on missions. I've only ever read a couple of books on missions. And one of them was 25 years ago. And one of them I don't really agree with. So I've just got the Bible and the Holy Spirit. But it says in John, it says that the anointing teaches you all things. Yeah, the Holy Spirit inside of you teaches you all things. And as you keep doing it, you learn. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We talked before that all humanity is going to be standing before God. And your salvation is dependent upon what Jesus has done for you, because your name is written in the book of life. But your reward, my friends, comes from the work that you've done. And if you look at, so how are you living? You know, this is a new year. It's a new opportunity. You might have spent Christmas like me, dipping in the quality street. Yeah. Sinning. And you're feeling guilty. You've got through Christmas and you think, I've eaten too many chocolates. And you're looking at the chocolates aren't finished there, but it's a new year. And the chocolate's talking to you, saying, eat me. And you know, devil, get thee behind me. And don't push. And you've got to stand up. It might sound silly, but sometimes it's a spiritual thing with these things, you know. And you've got to stand up against these things and not resist the temptation of the chocolate. But there's many other things as well. Your prayer life. Where's your prayer life? Can you imagine if Jesus was sat there, Reinhard Bonnke was sat there, John Wesley and Paul the Apostle, and they all sat around a little study group, all four of them with you, to form five. And they're all talking about your life. They're all looking at everything you do, everything you're thinking, everything you're saying. Because when you get into eternity, that's what's going to happen. Everything about you is going to be known. Everything's going to be recorded about in your looks. And I say, great, you got your salvation because of what Jesus did for you. Now let's look at what you have done. Is your reward going to be gold, silver, and precious stones? Because everything that God's done through you, yeah, every time you've jumped in with both feet and you've got on with the call of God on your life, yeah, that's going to accrue for you in heaven, gold, silver, and precious stones. If you've just gone off doing your own thing, completely independent, then that's going to be wood, hay, and stubble, and it's going to be burnt up. And it's not going to be a reward. Yeah? But we're not like that. I apologise this morning, I haven't got a non-challenging message. I've only got a challenging message. But we've got one life to live. 2017, it's a year further forward than 2016. Yeah? Some of you, you've let your spiritual discipline slip. You've let your prayer life go down. You've let your Bible reading go down, yeah? And God's saying to you, it's time to have a fresh start. It's time to jump in with both feet. It's time to stir yourself up again and get moving in with what God's calling you to do, yeah? You know that something is calling you to do. And God's saying, go for it. Hallelujah. It's not an easy message, but it's what there's an opportunity today. So I know this is challenging you, but there was a time in my Christian life for 10 years I was resisting the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was saying, "I want you to submit fully to me," and I didn't want to do it. And it took me 10 years to come to a place of submission and obedience to God. And I remember the day I did. That someone, he drew a line on the ground, And he said, if you cross that line, he says, up until this point, you've been living life your own way. You've been a Christian, but you've just been going it your own way. But he says, if you cross this line, he says, it means that you're taking your hands off your own life and you're going to give God complete freedom to do whatever he wants to do in you. Yeah? And when I came to that line, it was freezing. It was January. But I was sweating. And I came to the point, because I knew that once I was doing it, I was going to do it properly. It was a big decision for me. And I crossed the line, and I felt so wonderfully free, like I've never felt before, that I realised up until that point that my quality of Christian life had been something like 2 out of 10. But from that moment, it became 9 out of 10. And it's taken me, since then, I've been on mission after mission. You know, in December, I got back from India, and we had a whirlwind mission in North India. We went to more states and cities than we've been on a mission before. Next Saturday, the reason I'm preaching this Saturday is because next Saturday, I'm flying to Rwanda and Burundi in Africa, yeah? Because I know that I want that gold, that silver, that precious stone, yeah? And God says, go and preach everywhere. And that's what I want to do. Yeah, that's where I want to go. And my question says, okay, I'm going to Burundi and Rwanda in January. What am I doing in February? I'm already thinking like that. You know, I'm going to go to Uganda in April for 2 weeks. I'm extending out. Normally I only go for a week. Now I'm extending it for 2 weeks. You see, it's pushing your boundaries. Pushing your boundaries. Because when you cross that line, you get spiritually hungry. Once you've jumped in once, it's almost like once you've jumped in once and you've taken control, you've handed over the keys, you've handed over control of yourself over to God, then God can do what he wants to do. And it's like you get on this roller coaster of God and he just takes you everywhere. Yeah? But all the time you're going, everywhere you're going, you're clocking up gold, you're clocking up treasure, you're clocking up precious stones for God, yeah? And we are, and I want to see a church here where you are living to the potential of what God has called you to do in every aspect of your life, hallelujah? And it's not like the world. We're not talking about, you know, stoking up your own self-discipline because we realise we're completely weak. It's about the Holy Spirit. He comes in you and he enables you. He's asking you one thing. Are you willing to cross that line? Yeah. He's not asking, are you going to do this and do that and do the other millions of different little things like other religions are doing. He's saying, are you going to cross that line? Do you want to really let God? What would God do if he had complete control of every person here? What would he do with you? Where would he send you? Some of you already have a sneaky feeling of what God wants to do in your life, but you don't want to let him have that control. You're hanging on to something. There's an area, a reserve. You say, okay, God, I've got these 10 rooms in my house, but I'm not letting you into the 10th one. But it's when God comes, when you've had that, come to that place of submission and sacrifice, and you put yourself on the altar, that's when the Spirit of God starts to move, yeah? And that, you know, you look at people. Why did God use John Wesley? Why did he use Reinhard Bonnke? It's because they gave up control to God. They put themselves on the altar and said, Jesus, just do with my life what you want to do. Yeah? And when you jump in with both feet, then God can do that. And I think there's a lot of you here, you have you've only just scratched the potential of what God wants to do. And you are, I believe there's people here, you're called to be revivalists. You've got ministries, you've got preaching, you've got teaching ministries. There's people here with the gifts of healing that are laying latent, that are not being used. There's people here with the gifts of prophecy that are being latent and not being used. And God wants you to step out into them, yeah? Now, when we went to India, why is there a move of God going on in India? Because these people, they're a persecuted minority. And they were crying out to God, you go into an Indian church. And they're praying there for an hour or two before you even get into the service. You know, how many people here are actually praying before you get into service. You should be seeking God on a Sunday morning. You should be seeking God. How am I going to meet with God today in this service? You should be coming here in a place and an attitude of prayer and a place or an attitude of worship before even the worship team have got on. Yeah? And if you come along there, then you see a move of God. In India, they're praying and they're fasting every week. Now, this is not to make you feel guilty, but this is what's going on. It's no wonder the Holy Spirit's moving on. They're seeing healing after healing after healing. The churches are growing and growing and growing, yeah? So what was almost nothing 10 years ago is now there's churches of 600, 200, 400, yeah? This is a move of God that's going on. This church is an increase. It's increased very, very significantly. But I believe that we've been going like that level, but God now wants to change the angle. Yeah? He wants to take us up exponentially. Yeah? And it's going to be a serious people that 2017, you'll never have another one. Yeah? And you want 365 days of fruitfulness and fruit. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we just thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord. Let's go back to Mark 16. So this is a verse for 2017. And they went out and preached everywhere. And everywhere means everywhere. While the Lord kept working with them. He said, God will stop. Once you take the first move, God will work with you. And confirm the message by attesting signs and miracles, which is what we want. That closely accompany it. Hallelujah. We saw everything on that mission. Everything in the New Testament apart from raising the dead. We saw people healed. We saw a demon cast out. We were witnessing. We were testifying. We were preaching the gospel. We were pastoring people. We were teaching the Bible. All the key New Testament stuff. So Heavenly Father, Lord, I really want to give you a chance today. How many people are feeling challenged by what we're talking about this morning? Right, what I want to do is give you an opportunity to respond to the message. If you feel that you want to jump in with both feet and you want to cross this line and give God complete control over your life, I want you to come to the front now. Now, this isn't an opportunity for me to pray for you. This is an opportunity for you to do business with God and to pray to God.
I believe I have a question from the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit wants to ask you this. Have you ever wanted to be part of a move of God? You are. What will you do with it? I believe that's the Spirit's answer. I can see lots of nodding of heads, and I know many of you so well that are standing at the front, and I know that's what you want. Do you want to be part of a move of God? I believe the Holy Spirit is saying, you are. What are you going to do with it? It's been a real morning of taking personal responsibility. It's our walk with God and our walk together with God. What are we going to do with it? We are part of a movement, a worldwide movement, and we're part of a movement in this area. But what are we going to do with it? It's been a powerful word from Nigel today. But one we needed. I am a masterpiece, but now I need to live out my calling. And we'll constantly be talking about masterpiece because we're going to see so many new people and they need to know who they are in Christ. They need to know what it is to be free in Christ. So we'll be constantly revisiting that. But that doesn't mean that's where we stay because we've been called. But maturity comes from our own walk with God, what we get from reading the Bible ourselves, what we get from prayer, what we get from fasting, what we get from seeking God. And when we come here to come together, we should never really leave this place thinking, what did I get out of it this morning? Because it's not about what I get out of it. We come to give. We will receive, but we come to give. What am I doing that's enabling the people of God to hear from God and to go out for being more equipped? Praise God. Did you have anything else?
No, thank you very much.
Well, praise God. What a great word to start us off in the new year. Yeah? We are the people of God. And you're doing all right. But now God says, come on, let's go on. So let's go on. Be blessed. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.